Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. We are continuing our series on achieving an alien mentality. Achieving an alien mentality. And again, those of you who are visiting and have been here all the time, let's turn back over to 1 Peter, just kind of our foundation statement there. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with the first verse. I know you've heard this many a times, but it doesn't hurt to keep going over it. And again, that's why we are using the title Achieving an Alien Mentality, because it's a mentality that we have to develop. It's not something that's automatic. 1 Peter chapter 1. Yep, take your time. And beginning with verse 1. All right, we're all set. First Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle, Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. What an opening of a letter. But notice there that he calls us aliens. I think some of us have exiles. Some translations have exiles. We are aliens here on earth. And I know this is rerun. You said, man, I heard this 100 times, but here, 101. We are aliens, foreigners, strangers, and exiles. One more opening. Turn to the second chapter of 1 Peter. You're already there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved brother, I urge you as aliens, and he adds, and strangers, to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. We are aliens, we are strangers, we are temporary residents, we are exiles, we are outsiders, and we are to live a certain way. We're to live as if our life is foreign to the rest of the world. Amen? Amen. So what we're concentrating on in particular, we talked about how we're to live, and now we're working on how we are to think. We've been going over that. And why do we need to change how we think? Because we have the mind of Christ. Because we are aliens, our thought life is not to match that which the world has. And remember, as by way of reminder for the umpteenth time, thinking is will influence what you say and what you do, as a reminder. Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is. Is a state of being. That's what you are. What you think. And of course, I add a little more explanation to that verse in the sense of saying, not just any thought that just comes into your mind, suddenly you're going to become that. It's thoughts that come in and are allowed to do what? Linger. Take up residence. Dwell. When that thought sits in your mind, not just passes through, then danger, Will Robinson, comes into that. Will Robinson from Lost in Space. Some of y'all old school. That's old school. You got, that's old school. That's where my wife is a baby, so she, you know. Danger. You're in trouble. We need to tool how we think. And so we're working on our thinking, our attitude, our worldview, how we view the world. So we went over the mindset. We talked about how we have the mind of Christ. We talked about how the natural man does not accept, cannot understand the things of God. And that nice little, we landed there for a hot second last week, because that's why when you go and do your soul winning, or when you go and do your, you need to be led of God, because if God hasn't prepared that heart, God hasn't brought that dead spirit to life, they'll never get it. And by the way, just a side note, yesterday I thought went flawless. And when, you know, one thing that the Lord always reminds us, and reminded me yesterday, he said, it may not look like that something, you know, wham, boom, boom, bam, big thing went off. He said, but you never know what I'm doing. And he said, if you want to confuse yourself, try to figure out when I'm working. I'm going to repeat that. If you want to confuse yourself, get a headache, try to logically figure things out. Try to figure out when I'm working. You don't know when I'm working. The proof of that is in the Gospel of John, the third chapter, in about verse 7 or 8, where he said, the wind blows, but nobody knows where it's coming from. So is he that is born of the Spirit. It's an invisible work. That's what got Charles G. Finney, the lawyer from upstate New York, in trouble with what he kind of popularized, the concept known as the altar call. He said, because he couldn't see the invisible work of God, he said, let me conjure up something so we can kind of see this thing. And that's where the altar call became popularized. Yeah, I know everybody coming to the altar don't mean they say. In the church I came from, they applauded you when you came. Well, if you've been jacked up all your life, never got any respect, been bullied, overlooked, and now you get a chance for somebody to applaud you, yeah, I go up too. You're not going up for the right reason. Are you going up because God saved you, or going up because people clapping for you? You can't see how God worked. Best believe God was working yesterday. He moved in the hearts of those people, and they still remember us. You know, we've been gone about 2 years from there. They still remember us. Glory be to God. For those who don't know, we're talking about the clothes drive yesterday. We give out things to the people over in Denby yesterday. What a blessing. And you know what? Miss Phyllis C is all right. She, you know, I've never seen Miss Phyllis C outside of Word of Life. She got personality plus. Because I've never seen her with strangers, you know, people that you don't know. I've always seen her interact with people you do know. And she just made focus for that home. Pastor, this is, was Elizabeth and Kendra. Just like they, like she's been on for 25 years. Beautiful, beautiful. Just, that's what we as the people of God ought to present. You know, they're helping. Sister Landa brought out, and I know we take it for granted. I know I do, don't mean to, but we just human. But God allows us, everything we do, we just seem to get along. It just isn't a whole lot of drama. Just, we just work together beautifully as a family.
Amen.
And it's a beautiful thing. And I thank God for that. We, as aliens and strangers and foreigners, ought to lead in fellowship and love and unity.
Amen.
We're to lead in that.
Amen.
Let the world see that. Right now, the world is still seeing just brokenness and, you know, sex scandals and things of that nature. We're looking like the world. He said, we got to come out, be separate and apart from that. We're not looking like aliens. We don't look like a foreigner. We're looking like a native. We're not living as though we're alongside the house. We're in the house. We've gotten comfortable. We've thrown our hands behind our head, and we've kicked our feet up and crossed our legs. We've gotten comfortable. We'll make it worse for some. Some of us Christians, not only are in the house with our hands back and our feet crossed, laying out as in a hammock, we grab the remote, about to turn on the big screen. We all up in there. And the very definition of alien is alongside the house, not in the doggone house. No distinction, no separation. And I tell you, God Almighty is challenging us this morning
As if to say, I dare you to be weird. I dare you to be peculiar. I dare you to be foreign in your thinking.
So we must develop our mind. We were reminded last Sunday, 1 Corinthians, you'd have to turn there, chapter 2, verse 16 says, we have means right now as a present possession. I love that. We have right now as a present possession the mind of Christ. We have it right now. Not going to get it. That's not a future promise. Let us know we have the mind of Christ. That means we can have an attitude like him. We can think like him. Which means we can act like him. Then Philippians 2:5 lets us know we ought to have the attitude of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have the attitude of Christ. He said, have this attitude in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we've been set up for success. We got the mind. And you know what? The Lord know our mind is so crazy. And that's what we're going to pick up in right now. The Lord know our mind is so crazy that he had to give us a new mind. Somebody heard me. Thank you, Lord. Our mind was so crazy. We looked last Sunday also, still by way of review, that the mind is so important that God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, attached it to the most important law on which all the other laws hang on. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's a phenomenal statement from the Lord Jesus Christ as he was answering that lawyer. You want to know the greatest commandment? Pharisee, ape, lawyer. You want to know it? It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Notice you love him with all your inwards, because then it affects your outwards. You love them inwardly, your outside, your external is going to be tight. We love the Lord our God with all our mind. That's a phenomenal challenge for us today. And then we ended last Sunday by quoting the historical Black College theme at one point, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Is too important. And if you're a Christian, it belongs to God. Your mind belongs to God. Have you ever thought about that? It belongs to God. Meaning you don't have the right to think what you want to think. And that's something. You know, in an age of rights, I got the right to do this. I got the right. In an age of rights, the Lord is reminding us you don't have the right to even think what you want to think. You have the ability. Right? You're able to do it, but you don't have the right to do it. That's really something. Not even the right. So, this is the next part. This is part of this sermon is frightening. Let's take a look at our mind before Christ. Ms. Donahue said, nope. Let's take a look at it. It's ugly. But against this darkness that we're about to see the backdrop, you'll see why we needed a new mind.
Amen.
Why we needed a new attitude. And he didn't shortchange us either. He gave us Christ's mind, the anointed one's mind. He gave us the anointed one's attitude. Glory be to God. That he didn't leave us where we're about to go right now in Scripture. It's ugly. And realize every single one of us was here where we're about to go. There's not a one in here who can take claim that, well, I wasn't that bad. Says who? Or what standard are you imagining that up to? You be the next person. Remember, when we talk about good as humans,
It's our goodness as defined by the next person. Well, I ain't bad at Charles Manson. I ain't out here killing and cutting up folk. I ain't Jeffrey Dahmer. I ain't eating people. I may smoke a little something, you know, I may drink a little something, but I'm good for the most part. But in God's eye, his standard of goodness is way greater here. But what you thinking? How many of us have sinned just getting up from the bedroom, just coming here? Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And even if you think you have, you probably have. Yeah, we're sinners. Saved sinners. Apostle Paul still referred to himself the greatest apostle, second to Jesus Christ, possibly. He still referred to himself as the chief of sin, not just a sinner, but of whom I am chief. I'm the main sinner. We're sinners saved by grace. Let's look at our mind. Look at Genesis chapter 6 as we travel to the dark side. Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse 5. Mir, you need a Bible? Okay. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Make sure everybody has it. I'm waiting on grandma to let me know. Okay. Good? Okay. Genesis chapter 6. Hey. Mr. Voss. Can you help a little bit? She can slide down towards you. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man, and by I know you know this, I know you know it, but just let you know, man doesn't mean males. Man means mankind. So that's man, woman, boy, and girl. The wickedness of man was kind of bad. It was great on the earth. And every intent. Come on, God. That's kind of strong saying to have an all-inclusive word like every intent. How about three quarters of it? Give me a break. Wasn't a quarter of our thoughts good? He said no, because God cannot lie.
Amen.
God is not frivolous with his words like we are. He cannot lie. He is not frivolous. He does not capriciously, whimsically just use words. When he said every, he means every. That's a disturbing statement. That every intent, intent means every intention, that which is our intent, the motive behind our action. Every single motive behind everything we did, of the thoughts of our heart, was only evil and continually. Every intent of the thoughts of our heart was only and then continually. That's where we were. We always thought only evil all the time. We only thought only evil all the time. That's us. Before Christ. Every single one of us. Right? Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short. All have sinned. Romans 5:12. Through one man, death entered the world. Sin in the world. And death because of sin. And so all we're going to die, why? Because all have sinned. Yeah. See, God's standard, I know you know this, but don't have to hear it again. God's standard is way stricter than ours. And even in your mind, I can still hear somebody say, well, I wasn't that bad. That just, man, come on. That's a little extreme. As if I'm sinning. Although Moses wrote it, it came from the mind of God.
Amen.
All scripture is God breathed. This is God's commentary on the depth and depravity of the evil of men's hearts. This is God's commentary. Yes, you were that bad. Yes, I was that bad.
Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 6, the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And I always got to always explain that, because folks will use that interpretation. That's why we talk about the hermeneutics, which is the science of interpretation. You have to know how to interpret the Bible. If you take that verse, it makes it sound like that God is like us. He didn't know what the outcome was, and all of a sudden, oh wow, it turned out to be more terrible than what I thought. I didn't know that. For God not to be omniscient, then would go against Scripture, because He is omniscient. He knows everything before it ever happens. So this is more symbolic for us, to show us just how ugly sin is. And he had to put it into some sort of human terms so that we could see it as it relates to God. No, God didn't regret that, because he didn't know how it was going to turn out. Sin is just that horrible. That the horribleness and the ugliness of sin symbolically made God repent that he ever made man. It's to show us how terrible sin is. And Father God, help us to get that. In Jesus' name. Sin is not a light thing. In the abortion clinic in Florida, near Sanford, Florida, it has been reported that Christian females, bless you, go into the clinic. Christian females, supposedly Christian females, go into the clinic. Then I know this is wrong, but I know God will forgive me. You talking about presuming on blessing? You talking about presuming on the grace of God? It really is. That's a lot of nerve to go in there, knowing you're about to be a party to the murder of your child, and say, "Well, God will forgive me." He will, but boy, oh boy, that is really, that's disturbing. And I think it's because we really don't understand the depths of sin and what it does. And here at Word of Life, we've talked about it a lot. We really have. How sin was so terrible that it even cursed the ground, went on even through the physical earth. Romans 8 lets us know that the earth is groaning. It personifies earth, right? As if it were a person. It's groaning under the curse. The ground is cursed. That's why you have these tornadoes and blizzards and things killing things, folks, because sin is all in it, all in the atmosphere. Sin has permeated everywhere. Look at, don't worry, it gets worse. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Our heart, our mind, our thought life before Christ. Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 10. Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 10. All right. Verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous. And if you didn't catch the word none, now look how the Holy Spirit just over explains it, comma, not even one. Well, none means not even one. But in case you didn't catch none, he goes, not even one. These are absolutes, these statements are. There's not one righteous. There is none who understands, talking about the things of God. There is none who seeks for God. You can keep saying, not even one. And by the way, that verse there eliminates all seeker-friendly churches. A seeker-friendly church is a church that has the misunderstanding, false belief that a sinner is seeking for the things of God.
when it says here, no one seeks for God. A sinner never seeks for God. The confusion can come in. He said, well, hold on now. I know people ain't saved, but they seeking for God. Well, how do you know? And what they'll tell you, and this is good teaching for us to identify, what they will tell you is that they are seeking for the things that God gives, but not God. They want peace because they're tired of the crazy life. Maybe club, nightclub, and drinking, booze, and women, and life is just all messy. Man, I'm tired of this. I want some peace. That's what God gives. But that don't mean they're seeking for God. They may want some happiness and joy. Maybe they want, you know, some stability in life. Things that God gives. But because the word of God cannot be broken, because of it is forever settled in heaven, Psalms 119, verse 89, forever, Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And because God cannot lie, when he says here in verse 11 that no one seeks for God, then that sinner can't be seeking for God. But that sinner can seek for the things that God gives. And you think America became religious and got the Holy Ghost, as he used to say in old school, and became a Christian nation for real after 9/11, because in the seventh inning of all baseball games, they started singing God Bless America? No. America is a classic. Looking like they're seeking for God because they want what God gives, protection and safety. Watch over me, Lord. These people that came up in here and blew us up. Protect us. God bless America, but they don't want God. They want God's protection. They want God's blessing. Yeah, bless us, Lord. We don't want you. Just give me your... Does that make sense?
Amen.
You're not seeking for God. Word of life, understand that. God cannot lie. There's no such thing as seeker-friendly churches. I mean, it's a such a thing, but they are way off. And it's a doggone shame, too, because what those churches have done is they've dumbed down the worship, dumbed down the scripture, Christianity light, made it real light so that nobody's offended. And so that the quote-unquote seeker can be encouraged to come into the things of God. You don't realize that that person is dead spiritually. Remember, we just read that they cannot understand the things of God? They don't accept them because they're foolishness to them? You make me wonder, churches like that, where are you reading? There's a church in Texas that has 20,000 on a Sunday. 20,000. In a stadium. And that 20,000 be filled, too. Filled. Christianity light. Who wouldn't want to hear? Praise God. God is wonderful, isn't he? And you can have your best life now. Hey, man. And God is just so good. And he just sings and rocks his head back and forth and make you feel just so good. And Jesus saying, on the way to hell is the wide gate and the broad way. It's easy. That's easy. That's easy. There's no challenge there. They're not challenging your sin. They're not telling you you're not even thinking right. Like, how dare you? Hey, I ain't saying God did. No, this isn't your best life now. This is the worst life for the Christian. This is the closest thing to hell, as one person said, we'll ever come to as a Christian. And unfortunately for the sinner, this is their heaven. I don't care how bad it is. Your worst day on earth is going to be better than your best day in hell. That's something else that's not preaching anymore is hell. They don't talk about hell no more. I realize that was Jesus. I think that was his first, and then he talked about that subject more than anything, was hell. And nobody talks about that now. It gets worse. Keep reading. Verse 12. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. Go back to verse 11. There's none who understands. What does that deal with? The mind.
Because you don't understand, because your mind is dead, you're not seeking for God. Because you don't have the right mind, you've turned aside from, you don't seek for God. Verse 12 comes, you've turned aside. Together, they have become useless. Sinners are useless when it comes to the things of God. There's none who does good. There's not even one. How clear can this be? Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they keep deceiving. The poison of asp, which is a poisonous snake, is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Look at verse 12 and 13. All of those are mouth, speech, word references. Tongue, throat is an open grave. Tongue keep deceiving. Poison of asp is in their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing. What powers the mouth? The mind. Because out of the abundance of the heart, which is the mind, the mouth speaks. So if their mouth is doing all of that, because the mind is depraved, that's your mind, that was our mind, BC, before Christ. I look at my mother as a saint. When she told me she used to curse up a storm, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I said, Mother wouldn't just lie to me, but I really got messed up for about a good hour. I walked away in the days, man. I don't know if y'all remember the song by War called The World is a Ghetto. He said, walking down the street, bleary eyed, is what I'm doing. When my mother told me she was a curse, I was bleary eyed. I couldn't believe it. Her mouth was full of cursing. Miss Phyllis, see, she got a testimony too. Woo! She said, see, but she will tell you she was something else. We still gonna have us a testimony service. We are. We gonna really are, because it just testifies to the goodness of the Lord, because I didn't know all that.
Amen.
She's smiling and, you know, doing her all her thing back there. But the Lord brought her out.
Amen.
Amen, Miss Phyllis. See? Amen. There's several of us whose mouth was full of cursing. And if our feet weren't swift to shed blood, it was swift to do mischief. And nobody in here can think, well, that ain't me. Yes, it is. Because he keeps saying, no one. In case you try to think, you think. And the Lord knows we're going to be tempted in our arrogance to think, not me. So he keeps saying, no one, no, not one. Just in case you say it between the no one, you say, well, not me. No, not one. Because you know how we think in that interim. We're quick to justify ourselves. We're quick to do that. We're quick to vindicate ourselves. Verse 15, it gets worse. With your mind all crazy, then, of course, look at 15, whose feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear or reverence of God before their eyes. Just trying to tell you again, when a person gets tired of their living, they want peace, but not God. Because notice how it says in verse 17 that the path of peace they have not known. You get tired of that. I've heard people just tired. I'm tired of the way I'm living. Let's skip down to verse 23. For all have sinned. There it is. How many? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. That was you. That was me. That was us. Before Christ. Look at Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 14. Wash your heart from evil, O Jerusalem. Why does it have to tell him that? Because our heart was full of evil. That you may be saved. How long will your wicked thoughts lodge, dwell within you? You see that? The word lodge means to remain permanently, to stay overnight. Lodge. That's what that meant, word. And it means to dwell. So you knew they were wicked. Why? Because the thoughts were staying there and it was affecting who they were. Right? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And those thinking thoughts are the ones that dwell there. Their thoughts are dwelling there. He said, how long will your wicked thoughts dwell in you? And by the way, whose fault is it when a thought is not expelled out of your mind and is allowed to dwell? Miss Glenda pointed out herself real quickly. It's our fault. We don't fault God. We can't blame God or anyone else. I don't know what you're thinking. You know what you're thinking. And it's up to you and the power of the Holy Spirit to take that thought and kick it out of your mind. You have to do that. I have to do that. We have to do that. It's a daily battle. I think last week, we may speak 20, 30,000 words in a day, which means every word is preceded by a thought. That means at least that many thoughts. Those are just the ones you spoke. We ain't talking about the ones that you didn't speak. That's a lot of fighting, monitoring all day. You can't let up. When we talk about the fight, the fight really is in the mind. The battleground is in the mind. You win the battle there. You'll win it here in your tongue and here in your actions. But the battle begins here. And we aren't to allow thoughts to remain in our minds. Look at Genesis chapter 8. Well, preacher, why don't you just go on? We get it. Nope. I want you to just drill it in. Genesis chapter 8, look at verse 21. Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. This is after the flood. Noah is, in a sense, doing a cookout, a barbecue. In honor of the Lord. The Lord smelled the soothing aroma. So I guess it's safe to say the Lord likes a good barbecue. Because the aroma was soothing. And the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground on account of man. For the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. And I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. When is man's heart evil? When he's a little fellow. We told this before. I know this ice estimate, you heard it many, many times, but you think about it, when a little baby is born, you never have to teach that child how to be bad. Say that again. You never have to teach them how to be bad. You're spanking them constantly because they are bad. And the world is lying to you, telling you a child is not bad if I'm going to value judgment. Yes, they are. They're a little sinner. That little baby is born with a depraved mind. Just because they're little and cuddly doesn't mean they're not born a sinner. You got a little bundle of demon there. That's true. And you know what you got to hit them for? Biting. Why are they biting? Who did you teach that child to bite? Think about it. Hey, little Ray Ray, this is what you do. Go bite the little girl over there. They do it on their own. You thought Brooke was born among wolves. She biting all the time. Only thing locked around her was a leash. Like, girl, what is wrong with you? Am I right, Sister Lynn? She went on a biting spree. You don't teach a child how to be bad. They're born that way. Why? Because they are born with the nature of Satan.
That's why Satan thought he had God. Listen, Satan thought he had God. When he had Adam and Eve, when he got them to eat of the fruit, he said, I got God. Because everybody born of a man and a woman is going to have my nature in them. Because their, my nature, Satan, entered them when they disobeyed God. And now everybody born of a man and a woman is going to have my nature. They're going to be born evil. And Satan said, I got this. This earth is mine. I got the whole human race. But he did not know. Already, he was already prophesying Satan's doom right after the fall. Genesis 3:16. The seed of the woman is going to crush your head. He didn't understand all that. So notice I said, everyone born of a man and a woman. Because see, the evil is really passed from the man on to the next person, on to the next generation. So what did God do? He had Jesus born of a woman. Remember, there was no man. It's a virgin birth to bypass that. Glory be to God. So the seed came straight from the Holy Ghost and placed it in the womb of Mary. Oh, thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. So when Jesus was born, he was born sinless, spotless.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And he said, you know what, Satan, you thought you had me. But I know you never had me from before the foundation of the world. Who you think you is, dude? I done peeped your game way back in there before you ever got started. I knew what you was going to do. We had already talked about it before that got started. Glory be to God. Here comes a spotless Jesus. See, remember, as we talk about, it's not just the death of Jesus. It's the virgin birth. It's the sinless life that we tend to overlook. He wasn't just born a virgin. He wasn't just born a virgin. He also lived a sinless life. Do you understand that is so important? Because then the death then is not just sacrificial, which we tend to always talk about sacrificial death, but it's also substitutionary death. Because that gave him the right to die in our spot.
Amen.
And have our sins laid on him. Do you understand that? It's that life that set all that up. We can overlook the life. So the gospel is a death, but the gospel really is the virgin birth, the sinless life, then the sacrificial and substitutionary death, the miraculous resurrection, and then the ascension and seated at the right hand of God. That's the complete gospel. And where then do we fit as in there? You see what I'm saying? There's no goodness of our own. You can't claim that you got saved because you's a good guy or you's a good girl. We just read about what all we were before Christ. He went through all of that because we were so wicked and depraved.
Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We're going to give you a break in a minute.
Dang, he got another verse? Okay, I was crazy. But you know why? One of the reasons we have him at home? For you to remove any notion ever out of your mind that you thought you was something to do with it. You was a mess. We were a mess. You were a mess. I was a mess. We were a mess. I don't care how quiet you were with your mess. Or how loud you are to mess, you are a mess.
Amen.
Period. You might have been an intellect. You might have been intellectual with your mess. But you still was a mess. You might have been straight up ghetto with your mess. But you are a mess. All have sinned. No one does right. No, not one.
Don't worry, it gets worse. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 3. Ecclesiastes 9 and 3. Grandma got it? Okay. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that there is one fate for all men. Furthermore, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil, and insanity is in their hearts throughout their lives. Afterward, they go to the dead. The word insanity in the Hebrew means irrational, illogical, and foolish. So not only are you evil, you crazy.
That's why when a person who's a sinner does crazy things, you don't okay, the word of God saved you. It said it. Insanity.
How many times we said, man, that's insane what that dude is saying. That is insane. We use that word.
Including our dear president. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my. We understand it. We were there too. We did foolish and insane things.
Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, 9. And then after that, one more scripture and we're done. Jeremiah 17, 9. Jeremiah 17 and 9. Jeremiah 17 and 9. I want to make sure everybody has this. Because see, what you can do, what you're doing, if you're taking notes, or if you, you know, we do have the MP3 and all that. When the Lord is working on an individual who's a sinner and he's made him alive, but remember, the steps is, get my thoughts together. Salvation is a process, right?
Amen.
The person is first resurrected from the dead spiritually. But that's not per se what saves them. They've been brought alive spiritually to be saved. Yeah. Because now they can now hear and understand the gospel. You follow that? They've been enabled. They've been given the capability to now understand the gospel. But they're not saved when they first just come alive, right? So then that's where we come in with the presentation of the gospel in order to bring them to Christ. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to say something before that though. Lord help me with that. I'll bring that home for a reason. That's right. If it come back, I'll get back to it. Jeremiah 17 and 9. The heart is more deceitful than all else. I think King James has the heart is, what is it, mother? Huh?
All things.
Is what?
Deceitful above
all things. Yes. Than anything else. And I think he said desperately wicked, but the literal Hebrew is incurably sick. Some translations read desperately sick, but that word in the Hebrew means incurably sick, meaning the sickness that the heart, that's in the heart, which is sin, has no cure in and of itself, apart from God. That's why a person who's a sinner cannot ever come to Christ Jesus, cannot ever understand the things of God apart from God doing something first. Think about it. Lazarus in the tomb. Jesus said, roll away the stone. If Jesus had those men to roll away the stone to that tomb, listen to what I'm saying. And then everybody just waited for Lazarus to come out. Would he have ever come out?
No.
Thank you. Because he's dead. Just like a person spiritually. They are dead. I don't care how much you try to present and make the way and all this for the person. If light what is not put into Lazarus, he's not going to ever come out of that tomb. Even though you rolled the door,
away.
The opportunity is there. He's dead. It's impossible. Jesus must give life.
Amen.
And when he said Lazarus come forth, that word was, those words were empowered with life, giving power, with resurrection power. Glory be to God. And those words traveled into the body of Lazarus and caused his heart to start pumping blood, the brain activity, the electrons began to fire again, and he began to have activity in his limbs. Wow. After being dead for 4 days, and he began to putrefy. Well, that's that smell that comes out of the body that makes it stink. There's nothing too powerful for God.
Hey.
All that just disappeared. He came out of there bound in his napkin, a grave clothes. He said, loose him and let him go.
Amen.
Glory be to God. The heart is definitely wicked above all else. Who can understand it? The question is, no one apart from Holy Spirit. It's incurably sick. One last one, Mark 7, and we're done. Mark 7, the Gospel of Mark, the good news according to Mark, chapter 7, verse 21, and we're done. For from within, are we there? For from within, that is out of the heart of men, right? We're just from the thought life, come base and wicked thoughts. Sexual immorality, stealing, murder, adultery, all of this come from the mind. Verse 22, coveting, which is a greedy desire to have more wealth. Dangerous and destructive wickedness. That's a scary statement. It's scary just to be wicked. But for you to be dangerous and destructively wicked, my Lord and my God. Deceit. Unrestrained conduct. Means indecent conduct. An evil eye, which is envy. Slander, which is evil speaking. And malicious misrepresentation. Abusive speech. Pride, which is a sin that of an uplifted heart against God and man. Foolishness, which is folly, lack of sense, reckless thoughtlessness. Verse 23. All these evil, which is these evil purposes and desires, come from where? Within. And they make the man unclean and rendered him unholy. That's scary that all of that is up in there. And I tell you what, the reason you can't ever relax even though you are saved is because your flesh nature that is unredeemed, that is not saved, that is still a part of you, is still there.
Amen.
So you have the potential to still do out all them things if you don't watch yourself.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
You know, I've been married going on 31 years to the greatest wife of all time.
Of all time.
I still got to watch myself. I can never go into that hammock mode. Never, ever. Because the moment you do, you better believe Satan has something for you. He'll throw away 31 years. I won a silly little girl. And you silly too. We see ministry destroyed. New pastor went, I told you, 25 years with his wife. Grown kids, everything. One of my students, mother and father both on drugs. He took her in, you know, with him and his wife. Everything, next you know, he done had two children by this girl. She was 13 when she first went in. By 17, had two children by him. Divorced his wife, left the church, married her. That's a cautionary tale. That you know, you're never, I've made it, it's over, I'm good. Never.
Amen.
You only can say that when you are in the presence of God, meaning you have died. Do you hear me?
Amen.
You have died. Until your last breath, you got to be recognized, I'm fighting. You ought to be walking in the heaven swinging. Like, Greg, huh? This is Jesus. Oh, yeah. You can relax now. Finally. Because I ought to be fighting mode every day, all day. If you think about 20,000 thoughts to 30,000 thoughts, maybe more, every day, and each, all it takes is one to sit in there to tear you up.
Amen.
That's why you got to be careful. Or be careful, little ears, what you hear. Or be careful, little eyes, what you see. Because they'll put a thought in your mind that, because once you see something, you can't unsee it. That's why God warned ahead of time, don't go there. Don't go in that room. Because once you hear something, you can't unhear it. But once you hear something, plants a thought. He said, you done shot 10 people. Like, wait a minute, he was just a bishop of the Most High. What happened? Heard something, couldn't get it out of his mind. Or didn't get it out. I may make things a little comical, but this is very, very serious. Yes. We are aliens, strangers, foreigners, exiles, refugees here on this earth. Let's act the part of saints.
Amen.
Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray over your people that we develop this mindset, that of an alien, and that we achieve it with great brilliance. Through the power of your Holy Spirit. Because we can't do it apart from you, Father God, to achieve this alien mentality. You're our helper. Help us to do it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.